Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hi, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast, where we talk about board games and all that nerdy stuff. So go check that out. And joining me is a man who I would never call a nerd. I would call him handsome, thoughtful, popular. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for having me. My good friend, Ben Mandelker.
Did you mean to open up the podcast that way, Ronnie Karam? Hi, Ronnie.
Look, last week I had bangs and today I don't. Tricked ya.
My dear friend Ali Wong said, you should just make them think you have bangs and then be like, you don't have bangs. It'd be hilarious. And she's a comedian, so she knows what she's talking about. Thanks, Ali.
Hi, Ben. Everything's great today. Glad to be here, everybody. And I just want to tell Brittany, wherever you are, hope you got a glass of water, because all week I've been thinking about the previous things from this week, which are basically just all ragging on Brittany for not being able to handle any spice. And just going,
oh, that's spicy. Oh, whoa, that is spicy.
Oh, my goodness. Why are these graham crackers so spicy? Woo. Ooh, this rice.
I'll tell you. Wow. Who put pecani sauce in the marshmallows? Jeez, these things are nuts.
Wow, this whole wheat toast has me on fire right now. Wow.
Hey, guys, are cows made out of just, you know, pure chili peppers? I mean, this milk is killing me.
How do cows survive with that burning fire in their udders? I don't understand it. Ooh-wee. So we got some Top Chef. Another reminder, we have our big Real Housewives of New York our recap of the season premiere is coming up in like about 2 weeks or so. So go check that out. Go to just go to our website, watchacrappens.com, and there's links there. We'd love to have you there. Come join us. We have many, many people who are coming. So that's going to be super fun, but you know, what else do I have to say about that? It's going to be great.
Yeah,
we'll bother you more about it when it gets closer.
I'm like, every goddamn day. How can we bother them more? Okay, we're going to bother you every goddamn day. Okay?
Every goddamn day.
That's how we roll in these parts. Okay?
That's how so we
here
do
we are.
It.
Top Chef. Chef, everybody's waking up. This episode is called Thrown for a Loop.
Like Gail when she finds out they ran out of Paisley at Dress Barn, thrown for a loop.
So everybody's waking up, and Kiki is not in the mood today because she's been on the bottom, not very happy about it. And Shota is like, well, you know what I learned from last week is you really have to make sure the challenge is on the plate. Ha! 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 Ha!
And Chris is like, yeah, I'm really just figuring out who I am as a chef. I'm from New Hampshire. Have I mentioned that? And Kiki is like, she's like, you know what? I feel like I'm not cooking me. You know, I'm just like two in my head. Like, I need to cook my food. I need to get back to my roots, which is deeply undercooked chicken with salmonella in it. That's my style. I have to get back to that.
You know what? One thing I want to do with this world is I want to make people say, is this a chicken breast or is this a lollipop? Okay. That is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. So then we see Gabe. Gabe is FaceTiming with his kids. And by the way, some people have messaged us about this. Gabe, I think, got into some gray cloud over Gabe. He was working in a restaurant over by you in Austin, and he was
fired.
This
is my friend's restaurant. I'm friends with this family who owns this restaurant.
Really?
And I cannot wait to see this guy so I can ask him about the gossip with Gabe. But this guy's not a gossip at all. He's like a really just sweet person, so it'll probably be like, well, you know, what happened was just, it was really sad, and it, you know, I wish it could have gone better, because he's like a real sweet guy. But I just Googled it right now. It says, Austin restaurant comedor parts ways with executive chef over repeated violation of policies. All right, so what does this mean? Behavioral
policies or something. It's sort of... So there's not much more in my brief looking than that, but I think people are, you know, saying online that they're, I don't know, maybe it was a Me Too situation. I'm not sure, but we will keep tabs on that one.
Because, repeated, you know, violations of our policies and for behavior in conflict with our values. Now, do I know what that means? I don't. I do know that my friend is sober. He's been doing a really great job. Good. And so he's doing this thing. He's doing like a lot of positive things at the restaurant, like, instead of going out and getting wasted, which really any person who works in a restaurant knows that's kind of part of the culture. It's like you do your work and then you get shit faced and then you wake up at 4 the next day and go back to work. So instead of doing that, he started like yoga with the staff and like all of this stuff. So they are kind of like a hippy dippy kind of a company. Hmm. So I don't, you know, I mean, who talks like that? Like, behavior in conflict with our values. Like, how am I supposed to know what that means? I need like someone bitchy and gossipy to tell me what this means.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So I don't know what this means.
We'll get to the bottom of it. But all I knew is that when we saw him FaceTiming with his family, I was like, okay, so this is karma, because I've heard that there was like some no good stuff happening with his firing. And so now he's talking to his family, which means he's probably going to get eliminated this episode. I was like, you know, when you see like the FaceTime with the family, it's, there's like a 80% chance you're going home, but there is unfortunately a 20% chance you're going to win. So I was gambling that it was going to be the elimination, which I was, you know, spoiler, I was wrong about that. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm looking it up. Like, it's an assault. I don't know what it is. Like, that's the rumor. Is it some kind of harassment or assault?
Sexual
or something?
Harassment of something.
Oh, I don't know, Gabe Morales. But I told you in the very beginning, I do not trust a man who wears cursive on his interview shirt. Nope. Okay, I know that that's supposed to be your chef jacket. I don't trust you, sir. Okay, with your watery eyes, don't trust.
And rumpled shirt. So, yeah, so he's FaceTiming and his whole family loves Top Chef and they're just like really so proud of him. The daughter goes, I'm so proud of you because you're still in Top Chef. And then it cuts to the squirrel and it's like a very long shot of a squirrel just staring suspiciously. I was like, he's getting eliminated. Look at the squirrel's like the squirrel is angry right now. The squirrel is like, this daughter thinks she knows everything, that he's still on Top Chef, but I know what's going to happen. He's about to get eliminated. I was like, the squirrel.
Well, it's a dead squirrel. I mean, it's a dead squirrel, which is even more of a sign, right? I mean, here's this dead stuffed squirrel just sitting there because they're in that hotel with all the taxidermy.
I thought that was a real squirrel. Yeah. Oh, it was a dead squirrel.
No, it was a taxidermied squirrel. So I was like, he's out. He's out of here. But I think he might actually come close to winning because...
Yeah, he does really good work.
Yeah, but also there's just... I don't know. I don't know why I get that feeling. Okay, I'm going to... I have no dead idea squirrel. Where I was going to go with that.
Dead squirrel, squirrel, you're a winner.
Dead squirrel, or as Gail calls it, lunch.
Good morning, dum-dums. If there's one thing this year that has taught us, it's that we should keep our pantries very well stocked. Listen, if you open your pantry and it doesn't look like Gail's, you're probably going to starve to death. All right?
You never know when Gail's going to come knocking on your door, okay? So always have a well-stocked pantry, okay? So... Do you guys want to see what's in this, what I call poor person food closet? Okay, let's open it up.
Talenti family... I'm sorry, what is it? It's a round container with something poor people like.
San Pellegrino. Oh, wait, no, it's not that.
Is it a tire? This tire has been furnished by the Food and Wine Festival in Aspen.
What are these strange things that are round and metallic? If you shake them up, it makes a squishy sound on the inside. Are these bricks? Is this how buildings get made? What do you do with these?
Oh, canned soup? Okay. Well, if you open up the kitchen cabinets in just about any poor person's home in America, there's ample...
Chances are...
What is this?
If you open up the kitchen cabinets in just about any American house right now, chances are there'll be some Campbell's soup. Of course, if you open up the cabinets in my house, chances are there's going to be caviar, pasta and food from Italy. Exacto.
And Dale's like, huh, guys, I have a 2-year-old, so getting dinner on the table is a must.
Well, as opposed like to everyone else who can just like skip dinner for the rest of their lives.
Children, unlike normal humans, eat things.
All right, chefs. Today, your challenge is to create a dish that evokes a food memory, but elevate it and use Campbell's soup. Now, of course, it should be a special memory, not a terrible memory, like the time I had to eat that ridiculously cold ball avishar.
Whether it's a family dinner, a holiday meal, or in crying in front of your friends drunk at 3 a.m., let's find out why people use this round, cylindrical, poor person's food. The winner will not only receive something, but they'll immunity, but they'll also get a souped up cash prize of 10,000 gales. I'm sorry. 10,000 gale blouses.
You know what? And also, as a reminder, take us back to that special place, but we don't just want to see a classic casserole or pot pies, okay? We're not idiots, all right? So get rid of all that stupid American food, all right? What we're looking for is quail, starlight, and origami. Okay, go.
I have one question for you. Where did cream of mushroom soup come from anyway?
Or as I like to call it, gale in a can. Am I right? Oh, that's what they're called. Cans. It's all coming back to me now.
Oh, so Dawn almost gets run over by Portland Snot as everybody's running around, and she's like, Jesus! And I love that she just hates the Portland Snot head. Yeah. I love it.
As she should, because he's the worst.
It cracks me up. Now, here was my guess, and it turned out to be true. These fucking chefs, you always know what the chefs are going to do. The easy choice here is cream of mushroom, and yeah, they pretty much almost all use it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the most complex, darling. It tastes the least like metal.
If you ask me.
So Gabriel, he is, of course, annoying. And he's like, oh, you know what? In Oregon, we're always eating chanterelles. I mean, like, anything and everything is chanterelles. I'm like, listen, I like a chanterelle. I like a mushroom that sounds like it could be, you know, someone who sings a song. But
yeah, with other mushrooms. It's like a mushroom group that sings in harmony. I'm into it.
Yeah, I like that. But like, don't act like everyone in Portland is eating chanterelles at all times. Okay, let's just relax.
And stop acting like you don't run a sandwich shop. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, an Oregon chanterelles. Like, oh, be quiet.
You're ruining chanterelles. Okay. You know what? Like, let France have the chanterelle. Okay. So then Kiki is like, Kiki wanted to do a collard green like gratin, but there's no collard green. So she's going to do a Swiss chard gratin. And she's acting like this is the most difficult imposition that's ever been placed on her. She's like, oh, well, they don't have the collard greens, so I guess I have to make Swiss chard gratin. I'm like, that's about as easy of a substitution as you can imagine, right? Like, that's not like some crazy thing where you have to do like a huge, crazy, crazy pivot. I mean, I know they're different greens, but I mean, girl.
It's a lot of, you're going to have to cook them way, way down. Okay. There's a hint. Both of them require a lot of cooking
down.
They both do. Both, yes. Some very thick, steaky greens. So she's like, you know, my dishes usually evolve over a year, and I hate quick fires. I mean, it's a secret, but I guess it's not a secret anymore. So then we go to Shota, and he's doing cream of mushroom, of course, and he's doing a savory egg custard, because that's what his mama used to make.
Yeah. And then Maria's dish is inspired by the first dish that she cooked for her wife, who's like a firefighter. And then Nelson is going to make a cod seafood boil. And then Gabe, he's like, oh, well, I see that Nelson's doing something with cod, and I'm doing something with cod, so game on, or something like that. Some cod posturing there.
Yeah, some cocky cod. It's the cocky cod off. Hi, Bueller. How are you, babe? He's like, it's gloomy outside, so I should be fed right now. That's the rule. Avishar is doing a play on chicken masala, And he's like, the story goes that in England, the chef was serving tandoori chicken, but then the customer was like, this chicken is too dry. So he just dropped it in, like, Campbell's tomato soup. There we go. That's the story.
It's called tikka masala, not talki masala. Shut up.
So then Sarah, I don't know why Sarah bothers me so
much. I love Sarah.
It's really, she bugs the shit out of me. And it's really not fair to her because she's not doing anything wrong. I'm just sensing something. And I'm sensing like a cocky, fake humility that makes me crazy. She's like, one of the first dishes I made in the whole like stay at home thing was cream of mushroom. I mean, I would do like a stroganoff-y thing. So to elevate it, I'm going to do it with smoked mushroom and a spetzel.
Yeah, she's like, spetzel, okay. A little odd.
Probably that's not how you say spetzel. No, she's no. Like I've never heard anybody say spetzel, and I learned how to make that shit from a German. So don't come in here with your spetzel.
It's also really passive-aggressive, considering that our Alpine chef was just kicked off, and she's like, I'm going to do spetzel now. The other thing is, I love that this challenge is about, like, please make a dish of one of your warmest memories of the past year. And she's like, I'm going to do a dish of when I realized I had to stay inside because there's a global pandemic and life would be inalterably changed. That's yeah, my true. Warm memory.
That is actually true. So then someone passes by Marie and they go, how you doing, Marie? And she goes, I'm still kicking, papi.
So Dawn is doing a play of cream of mushroom chicken because she has that with her mom every week. And Chris is saying how he's just trying to keep it simple and he's just going to make comfort food and he's going to just make grilled cheese with tomato soup, which is like, hello, why is no one else doing this? It's like the most obvious thing. It's Campbell's soup. Like, I just love it. It's, everyone's just being so chefy and Chris is the only one that's like, oh yeah, Campbell's soup. Comfort food. Okay, grilled cheese and tomato soup. Perfect.
Because it just seems like the least creative thing you can do, don't you? Didn't you think that when you started making it? I was like, grilled cheese, they're not going to like this.
Well, I think it depends on if you can zhuzh it up, you know? And so here's where I started to think Chris was going to go home. Because he's like, my wife is my rock. And, you know, we have an 8-month-old daughter. And then there's a picture on screen. I was like, uh-oh. Okay, so Chris and Gabe are in the bottom two. That was my take.
5 minutes, dummies. So they're all plating and it's time up. So Gabe is first and he's like, I was inspired by a seafood stew I had in Mexico. It's cod and it's made with a cream of chicken soup. And Padman goes, where in Mexico inspired this, Gabe?
He's like, Tabasco. More like Tabasco. Away from me. I can't stand your face anymore with your rumpled shirt. God, you're stupid. Okay, next. Shota. And then our first one of the season, classic Padma. She goes, did you mean for the chawanmushi to be this loose?
He's like, yeah, I like it loose. Not really. He tells us not really.
You know, I call Gail that sometimes, loose chawanmushi.
How did you know what Gail's nickname in high school was?
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, I like it loose. And Padma just stares at him like, you're not going to get this one by me, little man.
So then Dawn's next, and she made a cream of mushroom. She used a cream of mushroom to make a chicken and rice fritter. Is that what she made?
Did you mean for this chawanmushi to be this loose? Sorry, I just wanted to say it again. You're doing great, John.
What is this, chicken skin? She's like, yeah, I did that on purpose. She's like, oh, sorry, that was Gail's other name in high school. How'd you guys have your own game show going on today?
Wow, did you just open up the yearbook of stupid high school? Graduation year, 1935. She's old. She's very old.
So then it's Jamie. She made a Vietnamese shrimp tomato soup. And she's like, you know, it was just because like in lockdown, I was like, ding, 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 dong, can't come in. Ding, dong.
Can someone wheel C-3PO out of my face, please? Thank you.
R2-D, no, am I right? Get out.
That's who I meant in the first place. So then
Sarah.
Sarah. She serves her smoked mushroom stroganoff with spätzle. And Pam is like, is there bacon in this?
That was how Gail was asked to the prom, by the way. She's like, no, I just smoked the mushrooms. Okay, so that's Sarah's trick. She's just going to smoke everything because it everything. Makes it fancier. Yeah, everything is smoked.
Nice idea for an idiot. Get out of my face. Okay, who's the next non-famous person?
Why does every Sarah dish taste like emphysema? Anyone?
I was just telling my dear friend, Nita Waite, that the only thing I want smoked from now on is a nice doobie. Am I right, everyone? Or are you not wealthy enough to afford drugs?
Sorry, crack cocaine lovers.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Byron is next, and he's like, I call this one, every day is Thanksgiving. Well, you know, every day is a day that Gail's letting out her pants. So good call, Byron.
You know, it's true, because every day, Gail just falls into food coma around 5 p.m.
So then Nelson, his is also a tribute to Mexico City because there he had, or the other guy was just Mexico. This is Mexico City. But he's like, you know, I had cod there, and so I really liked it. So I made seared cod with tomato ginger sauce.
Real original. Okay, second cod of the day. What are you guys trying to do? Just turn us into two cod people? Dale, take it from here. Okay, I'm just stuck.
Well, I do have a 2-year-old. Never mind, Dale. Just be quiet.
Okay, so the next up is Avishar with his chicken. It's like it's his chicken toast tikka masala. That's like a shrimp toast and a chicken tikka masala, whatever. And, you know, they like it. They like it. Dale says, oh, this is very inventive. Some of your glasses. God, who would wear those things? God, am I right, Avishar? Hmm. Oh, wait, never mind. I don't mean to be in alliance with you. You're a poor person. I'll just be with myself.
So then Kiki serves her a Swiss chard gratin, and Padma's like, how long did you cook the chard? And she's like, 5 to 7 minutes. And I mean, look, I'm no professional chef, but even I was like, what?
What?
5 to 7 minutes? What the hell's going on?
She had 45 minutes. She had 45 minutes. I mean, how long was she planning to cook the collard greens for? Because collard greens need like 45 minutes. Like 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. That is not a 5 to 7 minute dish, ma'am.
No.
So then Chris serves his fancy grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And then Maria brings out her cabbage salad with poached egg and tomato soup vinaigrette. And she's like, I made it for my wife. And Padma goes, obviously it worked.
And then Gabriel comes up with a grilled filet with chanterelles. He goes, for me, the memory is mushrooms. I mean, I would be in the forest right now foraging for chanterelles. Oh, well, you and Gail can do that together, except she doesn't really... forage for chanterelles, more like Twinkies. You know what I'm saying? Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Don't even bury him. Just throw him on the ground.
She'll just follow her nose.
So, Dale, we're talking about the least favorite now. So, Dale announces Nelson is one of them. And Padma's like, you know, basically the cod was me between takes. I mean, it was just hammered.
just hammered. You know, like Gail's choices at Talbot's, there were a few dishes that were a little less successful.
Soda's had a layer of liquid on top that they didn't like, and Kiki's Swiss chard never cooked out. It was more like a warm salad. But there is some good news, which I don't like, so I'll let you do that, stupid Dale. Go for it. Coke bottle glasses.
There is some good news for the people who did not already receive very bad news. She does say that every week, doesn't she? You three people are terrible, but there's some good news. Aside from those terrible people, there's some people who actually excelled. I don't know how.
Yeah. So, Gabe's, there was a depth of flavor that felt like it took longer than 30 minutes to produce that. And Sarah, you know, the smoked mushroom really brought me to Thanksgiving with my mommy.
I really love that you made your own Gail in 30 minutes. Did I say Gail? I meant Spetzel. I love that you did that in 30 minutes.
She's like, actually, it's spatula. Like, no, it's not stupid, but it still tasted good. And Chris, grilled cheese and tomato soup. I mean, how basic and wonderful, am I right?
The winner is Chris. Congratulations, Chris. Don't talk to me.
Look over there, poor person. I didn't say look me in the eye. And Chris is like, yeah, you know what? I learned a lesson today. I'm just going to let my grilled cheese do the talking.
Chris, you've won a lifetime supply of telephones from Campbell's Soup. Here, and here's some string.
You've won yourself 100 Gale dresses. Oh, so throw you for a loop. Okay, this next challenge is going to throw you for a loop. Located just 1 hour east of Portland, you'll find Oregon's Fruit Loop. And no, I don't mean Dale's general appearance. I mean a mountain range that runs between Columbia River, peaches, applesauce, and sauerkraut. I forgot what I'm even talking about. Did I mention I was hammered?
Did I mention that the right way to say spetzel is spetzel? You idiot, Sarah, over there. I'm still angry about it. I'm best friends with Angela Merkel, and even she told me how to say it, okay? So,
my good friend, Angela Merkel.
My dear friend. The other night I was on a three-way Zoom with Lena Waithe and Angela Merkel, and we're all laughing about how spätzle is our favorite food. And Angela Merkel kept on saying, spätzle, spätzle, spätzle. So I think I kind of know what I'm talking about.
So basically, they're going to go to this orchard, and you're going to shop for fruit right off the trees. And they're going to have to make savory fruit dishes, not desserts.
This is not the time for apple pie, okay? So just like at the quickfire where I said, no pot pie, I still continue the pie ban on this episode. Sorry.
So everyone's nervous because they're only going to have 3 hours to prep and cook. And no one really knows what to make because they don't know what fruit they have. They don't know what ingredients they have. So they're scared. So the next morning, they drive over there and they're really showing off these cars. At one point, didn't someone like take a drink out of the...
Yeah, Shota. He's like, it's still cold. And then last week, there was like a moment, we didn't even talk about it, but last week there was a moment where they're like, hey, check out this cool feature. It's got a little fob. Whoa.
So do the cup holders in that Beamer make your drink cold?
I'm wondering. I mean, that's actually kind of a really cool feature. You know what? Guys, fuck it. God. I'm ending this podcast. I'm getting a BMW.
A Beamer, baby.
No, never, Subaru. I will stick by your side.
So let's see. They drive over there and, you know, everyone's scared. And Kiki's like, you know, I'm a little scarred, frankly. And Dawn's like, just be yourself. You know, just be yourself, which I think is just terrible advice to be anybody. It's like, if I wanted to be myself, I'd stay at home, okay? I want to win something, okay? I need to be somebody else. Tell me who I can be.
Yeah, yeah, we need to disappear into someone's persona. So they arrive at this orchard, and there to greet them are Carrie and Melissa. And so Carrie's like, fruit doesn't always get the respect it deserves in savory dishes. You know, it's like... You know, it's like fruit is almost like cheesecake. You know, you bake it in a hole in the snow in the middle of Colorado and everyone's like, I want something else. You know what I'm saying? It's just people don't get respect. Like you can literally make a cake in the snow and still not win top chef. You know what I'm talking about? Fruit.
And Melissa's with her and she's like, well, guys, something's going to be missing in your pantry. No vegetables. What about that spin, guys? And so they're like, oh my God. Yeah, welcome to Gale's Pantry. Am I right? Padme, you're off today.
Sorry, I accidentally zoomed in. Angela says hi.
Sorry, Putin's on the other line. Hey, Putin. It's me, your good friend, Padma. I just wanted to ask you a very important question that affects all of us in these horrible times. Vladimir, where do burritos come from anyway?
What is chop suey? Hey, do you want to hear how hot dogs are made? Vladimir, you still on the line? Vladimir? So Nelson is all sad because he had all these ideas, and now they're all ruined by this. And the rule is that they have to go they have to go pick their own fruit, and they can that's the only fruit that they can use. So they all go running to the orchard, which is great because we haven't had the frantic Whole Foods sprint, and so this sort of gave us a taste of that, except a little bit more invasive because they're like running through and just like yanking fruit off trees. And it's exciting.
Yeah, and these poor things having to run around. And whenever you make a group of chefs run, they're like, ow, God, my feet, my back. Chefs are not meant to run, okay?
They've moved like 10 feet from Melissa and Carrie. They're just all on the ground panting.
They're just like throwing their hose at a tree, just waiting for something to fall down. They're like, please don't make me do this.
Mush, mush, mush.
Is there a mayonnaise tree around here? Please don't do this to me.
So Gabriel is just being annoying again, and he's talking about how he moved back to Portland from New York because he just loves being near nature and chanterelles.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fired. I'm just gonna say.
Yeah, you totally got fired. You couldn't hack it, kid.
Couldn't hack it. That's right. Sorry that Jamba Juice let you go. Wow, I got real mean there.
Didn't he work for Tom at Kraft?
Yeah, he did. But I demoted
him. Until they got fired.
Turns out the flatbreads aren't the only things that we fire up.
So then Sarah's like, I cook with fruit often, but, you know, no vegetables, that's difficult. So I have a couple of fruit sauces planned. It's gonna get wild.
Yogurt isn't a fruit, dummy.
If it's smoked, it is.
By the way, for some reason, I feel obligated to say this, that Gabriel, we don't know if he ever got fired. That was a joke. Just one, because I'm like, I just already am sensing people being like, he did not get fired. So I'm just saying, it was just a joke. It's just a joke.
Yeah, we're just kidding. But whenever someone's like, you know what? I moved back home from New York City because I just miss nature. Oh, okay. So then, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it. So Shota picks his, and who tells him? Don is like, hey, Shota, you should come get some of these Akondas with me.
Akondas, and he's like, is that?
He's like, is that because I'm Japanese? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, oh, okay, coming.
And then Nelson, he really wanted to get, he has some fruits, and he's like, he says that he really wanted to get some peaches and some pink pearls, but his shins and his feet hurt too much, and he's like, they're just too far away. So he just is like, I just have to deal with this fruit. I'm not going any farther.
Yeah, pears and apples. I looked down, there was a pear and an apple. We're going for that.
Pears and apple. So,
kitchen time. So Kiki takes chicken wings, and Dawn has some apples. She's going to make some duck, and Maria got the same kind of apple, and she's going to do albondigas. Okay, I turned back on the spell check on my iPad, which was the biggest mistake.
Yeah,
don't because do that. It doesn't have where it's like albondigas, so it says also divas. So I'm like, what?
It's just gonna make
Maria
some
said
divas.
What?
Yeah, the first thing I ever made for my wife were divas. Actually, I just actually found some divas and killed them and just made them into steaks, and she loved them.
She ate an entire ballet company, and that's when I said, you know what? I love her.
But she's mad because she doesn't have her chilies, so she has to use a lot of paprika. She's like, whatever. And then Gabe is like, you know what? I'm going to make what I call orchard jus, and it's inspired by mole. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to gently cook a plum because you want to preserve. I'm like, shut up. Shut up. I don't care. I don't want to hear about your plum and your big egg.
He's like, you know how you deal with fruit? You slow roast them. You just, it's very delicate. Fruit is very, very delicate.
You know, I should do.
Yeah. So then Tom comes, and you know, because you just hear this coming up a hill. Yep. Boop. Yeah.
Yep. Here we go.
That's me. Up the hill. All right. Here we go.
It's a weird orchard. Yep.
So Portland's not. Portland's not Gabriel is making oysters, and he's basically just doing three toppings. He's doing three oysters with three different fruit-based toppings, and he's like, I know people might think that that's weird, but it's a very meticulous dish.
Yeah. I mean, people who don't like it probably also don't like chanterelles, and we don't hang out with those people. You know what I'm saying?
Those people belong in New York City, okay?
So then Tom goes up to Avishar. He talks to Chris for a little bit, which is, I don't know, unremarkable. And then he goes up to Avishar. I don't know, because I didn't write to, I just said he talked to Chris. I didn't have anything to add.
Poor Chris.
Poor Chris. He's from New Hampshire. So,
who am I anyway? Am I my resume?
So then Tom goes up to Avishar, and Avishar's like, well, I'm making an Ohioto. It's risotto from Ohio. And he's like, Tom's like, I don't know if I should bend my up or down, like or
You know what I'm going to give it? I'm going to give it a solid So Avishar is like, you know, I just know that if I call it risotto, you're going to judge me really harshly about that. And he's like, huh, you know what? You can make risotto. Just do it right. All right.
Just do it right. You know, it's so funny how people from the younger generation are afraid of judgment. It's like, it's almost like having a son who says the only reason why he never followed in his father's successful footsteps is because he was too paralyzed by the crushing expectations, to which I say, I thought I raised a son, not a pussy. Enjoy being a mixologist.
So he goes to Kiki, and she's doing chicken wings. And he's like, are you going to use a smoker for that? And she goes, no, I'm going to use one of the fryers. And he goes, no, you're going to use a smoker or one of these tiny little baby fryers. All right. Is there a two-year-old around here who is trying to learn how to fry? Because I don't even know if this is real.
You realize that this kitchen set is actually just a Fisher-Price kitchen set, and it's plastic and not meant for actual cooking, and you're putting oil in there and trying to light it on fire. It's not going to work. You may also notice that we've furnished all the cooking stations with giant big green egg things. Sort of a hint, kind of a hint about what we're expecting here. But sure, use that little fryer from Spencer Gifts. It'll be great.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, he's obviously... He's trying to tell her, do not do this, right?
Yeah.
And so she goes, well, I sense his concern, and I'm thinking, should I grill? But then, you know what? I just need to stick to my plan. Warning!
Yeah. Dong! It could go both ways, because on the one hand, you know, the people who just, like, do their food, you know, they, like, when they cook from the heart, that's what they excel, right? But sometimes, when they just think that they're following their heart, they're just being idiots. So it's hard to know how it's going to work out. But my guess was deep frying in the orchard when everyone else is grilling. I don't know. Felt like not smart.
Not smart. So he's like, well, chefs, you know, I came here. I saw more fruit than I've ever seen in my life. And I cannot wait to have acidic stomach after eating all this fruit. So, see you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
So, there's a butterfly on Shota's workstation, which is like, so Shota, of course you would have a butterfly. And also, so Ronnie. I was like, you know, it's perfect for you.
I was just so jealous. Like, I just looked at my butterfly and I was like, you hideous. Look at that butterfly. That's a butterfly. All right.
You could have been on Top Chef.
I need you to go back into that cocoon and don't come out until you're more intricate.
And then nature, you know, when they, you know, in Jurassic Park, they say nature finds a way. Nature does find a way, because a bee went and stung Gabriel. And I was like, thank you, bee. Bee's like, on behalf of all the chanterelles. Fuck you.
Yeah. Nelson is curing his scallops, which, you know, is very noble. And then he's going to go light, because everybody says he's just been making too much. So he's like, you know, I come from the best seafood restaurant in Oakland, so I'm going to do this for them. And then Byron is doing a homemade pasta, which I was also terrified for, just because that's always scary on these shows. And it's so windy that he can't get it into the KitchenAid pasta flattener thing.
Right. They treat it like it's the opening scene in Cliffhanger. You know, they're like, you're watching this, like, pasta swing in the wind. Like, it's too windy. It's too windy. We have to turn back. No, I could get the pasta in the machine. We could do it. Like, that's like Top Chef's, like, version of, like, a highly suspenseful scene.
But Rocky's like, I'm doing it.
And the pasta falls into the canyon.
Then it stands up and it's got Sylvester Stallone's current face. It's like, whoa.
By the way, we should also mention that when Nelson was talking about Oakland, we saw a picture of him with his wife. So also on the block.
Yeah, I think they're just fucking with us this episode because you know how they'll have a couple episodes a year where they're like, everybody gets a call home today. And you're like, yeah. Wait a minute. They just keep cutting people talking, cutting two people talking to a loved one on the phone.
So the judges show up at like a tent and Gail's like, oh my God, can we have all our meals here? And Padma's like, right, right. Oh, wait, that was Gail who said that. Oh, never mind.
Gail, you say that everywhere. I got into an elevator with Gail last week and she said, can we have all our meals here? I said, Gail, you know, stop pulling chicken wings out of your purse. Please, it's an elevator. You're embarrassing me.
Gail, I mean, it's hard when you say we have all our meals. It feels like you never even finished the last one. It's just one long continuous one. So really everywhere you go is where you're having your meal.
So Kwame's really in a race with Gail this season for crazy clothes at the judging table. Not that Gail's are crazy. They're just like really patterny. And Kwame's are today it's very like Lawrence Welke. It's like a mint green kind of fluffy dress jacket thing.
Yeah.
So Gabe is in the house, so he goes first, right?
And yeah, he's feeling really good about his plums, just so you know.
Yeah, because he smoked them, and so they're beautifully intact, okay?
Yeah,
because I know plums. How to treat a fruit. All right, I know how to treat a fruit.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you heard, but I have some beautifully intact plums. Yeah. They're not crumbling.
I treat fruit intact. Way better than I treat my staff, okay? Read it up on the internet. Read up on it.
Unlike my job, these plums are beautifully intact.
No. So let's see. Avishar. Oh, Portland Snot is giving advice. Don't take advice from this person. Yeah, anybody
the moment
ever
that happened, I was like, no way, don't do that.
Yeah, Avishar is asking him to taste and he's like, keep going, needs more starch. You know what this plate needs? More starch.
Which chanterelles.
Yeah, which of course really hurts Avishar in the end. Not that he did himself many favors either. But he's like, you know, I made rice the first time and I failed. I cannot look stupid on this challenge. I just can't do it.
So what we have here is an Ohioto. And what was I saying about not looking stupid? Okay, this is my Ohioto. And we have a Cincinnati Beurre Blanc. There's no pun there. Just added Cincinnati to it. Don't really know what I'm doing anymore.
So then let's see, Gabe serves his plums slow smoked and glazed, and Padma's like, what did you think when you found out you weren't gonna have vegetables? I mean, did you basically feel like a Gale? Tell us the truth. And Gabe's like, well, you know, I thought everyone's gonna sure be showing their cards today, guys, which didn't really mean anything, but I'm saying it as someone who actually smoked and kept their fruits intact. Okay.
Beautifully intact. I felt like it was a level playing field, and that playing field was filled with beautifully intact plums. So the chefs walk away, and Amar's like, okay, they're on? Okay, excuse me. And he licks the plate. Amar, I can't believe you're licking the plate. And where did you find that bone? How did you find a bone in a plum, Amar? You can put the bone down, Amar. Put it down.
Why is Amar holding a jar of peanut butter?
And Gail's like, the plum had so much integrity. We're not talking about the plum in this show. The plum had so much integrity. It was almost as if it were, I don't know, beautifully intact. It's a beautifully intact plum. It's so much integrity.
And Richard is like, it's just so weird. Fruit with gravy. And Tom's like, oh, that's what these challenges do. And it's amazing. It is amazing.
I'll tell you who has integrity. My dear friend, Lena Waithe, also an Emmy winner.
You know, as my good friend Angela Merkel would say, the rice is just chew al dente and mushy.
It's amazing how something can be chewy and mushy at the same time. Does anyone want to take a stab at this one? She's sitting right here. It'll be great.
Me? Good job, Gail. So next up are Shota and Chris. Chris did a seared scallop with a peach butter and smoked pear and plums and grapes. At pickled, did he do the pickled grapes? I think so. Shota did a cold salmon with sour applesauce and plum salad. And Tom's like, well, they both used fruit beautifully, unlike certain sons use degrees, but, you know, I'm just going to take what I can get.
I can't help but feel like there's no grapes on here that have beautiful integrity and are delightfully intact.
So Richard Blaze is like, is this the same Chris? Is this the same Chris that we tasted last week? This is very good.
And shut up, Richard. And then they wanted to love Shota's, but the fish was too dry. And Melissa's like, I did love the crumbles and the fruits. Did they have integrity, though?
So Portland Snot is like, you know, a lot of people would be like, oh, you just made oysters with 3 hours. But guess what? I made 3 flavor pops.
Yeah. So he serves oysters with apples, peaches, and plums. And then Jamie serves
Padma
up.
Padma gives my favorite Padma. She goes, wow.
Wow, these oysters are beautifully intact.
I like when Padma says things where you're like, does she hate me? Or wow.
Wow, 3 oysters. Wow. How long did it take you to do that? 3 minutes, you idiot.
So Jamie serves next, and she did a pepper, pear, and poultan. I don't know what a poultan is. Thanks,
polenta.
Autocorrect.
Polenta.
Oh, polenta. Thank you.
The poultan. Poultan. So Gail's like, Gabriel's oysters were just very enchanting to me. They were beautifully presented, and they're just ice cold. Well, let's be honest. I mean, clashing colors are enchanting to you too, Gail.
Oysters are enchanting. So they really love the glazed peaches. And Gail did not like Jamie's food. She's like, she made dated food, and the grits, those were really weighted down with cheese. All right, hypocrisy. Hey, ding dong, hypocrisy's at the door. Gail, will you get it?
Gail, I really appreciate you talking about how Jamie's food is dated while you're wearing a sweatshirt from Benetton in their 1993 collection. Idiot. Bless her
heart. So next up are Byron and Sarah. And Sarah's like, I did grilled shrimp with quinoa, apples, plums, and peaches with roasted plum sesame oil, peanut butter, and of course, yogurt.
Get out of my face.
What's her obsession with yogurt? It's so weird.
She loves it. She loves yogurt. I don't know where she even finds it. Like, how did she get yogurt on this orchard?
Well, they have other ingredients. They just couldn't use vegetables, right? So
I know, but I feel like they didn't provide yogurt. I'm just going to say it right now. They did not provide yogurt, and she still somehow found yogurt.
She's just one of those people that, like, carries things in her bag, you know, in case you need them.
And then Byron made a filled pasta with tarragon, apples, and pears, and an apple and Pinot Noir reduction. And so they say that Sarah has too many sauces in her dish, and Carrie is like, mine is so dill heavy. I got all the dill. Okay, and let me tell you what the dill is. I'm someone who made a cheesecake in the snow, right? That, if you want to talk about a big dill, that's the one.
And Dale is like, well, this fresh made pasta, I mean, kudos to that. And Amar calls it a deconstructed cheese plate, which he loved. So then is Kiki. We go to Kiki, and she's nervous. Her chicken wings are late, and her oil isn't at temperature because it's getting cold outside. And she's like, what if it's not hot enough to cook it? Oh, my God. But you know what? I took it out knowing that it's just going to sit there. So surely it will continue to cook, not being in hot oil. I mean, it'll just keep cooking.
I'm a little concerned that my oil isn't hot enough, so I'm going to pull my chicken out early.
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm just going to pull it out early because I'm having trouble getting the oil to temperature. So I think the less time it spends in the lukewarm oil, the better.
This is crazy.
And if any cut can probably survive, you know, an accidental, not overcooking, but like, you know, if it's at temp when it's supposed to be when you pull it out, and if it keeps on cooking, if any cut of a chicken can survive, it's probably the wings. The wings will probably be okay.
Oh, God. And then final words of warning. She's like, oh, God, guys, this might be a really good one. Just saying, it's going to be a good day over here.
I just tapped my wing and it has that lovely jello consistency.
Listen, they love smoked yogurt. They're going to love the texture of this.
What we have today is some yogurt textured chicken.
So Nelson is serving as well with her, and Padma goes, hello, and Kiki serves her apple glazed fired chicken polenta, and Nelson serves Bell's. Seriously, my typing. Bernays. I need to like really work out my fingers. So he does a seared scallop with apple Bernaise.
Yeah. And Padma goes, is there rosemary in your dish? Which is hilarious because, like, there's obviously rosemary. If you taste rosemary, it's obviously rosemary. But I just love when she sets them up for a trap. Hey, stupid. This is scallop. Did you serve it with lamb seasoning? It's a trick question.
So Carrie's like, guys, here's the deal. I think that the fried chicken was undercooked. And Tom's like, raw. It's raw. Yeah. It is raw. You have a small tabletop fryer. You know, why would you use that? This is risky. It's all raw. It's raw.
I mean, it's like a mixologist just cooked us dinner. I mean, there's no skill involved whatsoever. No skill, no art, no capabilities. It's ridiculous.
So Richard loves the peach and parsley. He thinks that's a really great idea. Hmm. But with Nelson's, Carrie says that they just get herbs on top of herbs on top of herbs on top of herbs on top of herbs.
Oh, just like Gail's culottes. Pattern on pattern on pattern, and yet somehow it's still flat.
So Gregory's like, the scallop wants out of that space. Gregory, I love how that's worded. The scallop just wanted out of that herb space. Can't get it out.
So now comes Maria and Dawn. And Dawn, she's made a caramelized apple risotto with herbs and duck. And then Maria is like, well, since you took away my chiles, she made her
albondigos. So Maria is so funny. If she was a character in a show, like I would say, wow, that is so consistently written. Like every single thing she says, she's like, my pulse, it's like I'm playing the maracas. Like, are you just pretending to be like Latin? What is going on? Because it's like every single thing she says, your pulse is like playing the maracas. Really? Come on.
I feel like she's like on like a CBS sitcom. She's like the bartender at the place where the gang hangs out. Right. Like, like, hey, Maria, I'll have the usual. Oh, the usual. What's that? Stupidity? Huh? Okay. And then the audience laughs.
Yeah. So Dawn did a caramelized apple risotto. Did you already say this?
I may have.
I think you did. So then Greg tastes it, and he loves Maria's food. She creates very soulful food. And Padma loved Dawn's apple and olive puree. She's like, this is so luscious. And then Richard is like, olive oil apple puree? That is something I never knew about.
That's because you're an idiot. Remember when you ordered all that food at our fake diner? Stupid face.
Well, I guess we're going to have to drive back to Judge's Table. Bye, poor people.
Bye. I'll be taking my private plane an hour west.
Hey, you'll all be walking. We're taking the Beamers. Bye, poors.
Hey, Angela, guess what? I had some beautifully intact plums and an apple and olive oil puree. Anyway, you can tell that to the European Union. Bye.
So in the stew room, they're talking about what the hardest part was, and they're like, the terrain, duh, like it was a mountain, so that was hard. Hello, chefs, we'd like to see stupid, 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 less stupid, less stupid, and less stupid. Okay.
Would the six unfamous people please follow me into a room with me and some moderately famous people. In descending order of fame, me, Tom, Carrie, and then the rest. Cameraman. Notice I didn't say Gail.
Thank you, sound person. Thank you, lady who puts on the microphones. You're famous-ish.
I would like to thank former New York Times book editor Michiko Kakutani for handling the boom mic.
So they take in Kiki, Gabriel, Chris, Gabe, Nelson, and Avishar. And Avishar's like, oh shit, did you read my notes or what? So they get in there, and Tom's like, well, the challenge was very straightforward, and some of you did amazing work, and some of you did less amazing work. That is my Tomgina monologue for the beginning of this challenge.
You know what? It was like the perfect bridge between summer and fall, and I have to say that Amar, you know, Amar, Gabe, your dish was so good that Amar literally licked his plate. He just picked up the plate and licked it. It was like, is that Amar? Where's that Gail over there? Did I do that right, Padma? Did I do that? That's good enough. You got the spirit of it.
So Gabriel, Chris, and Gabe, stay here. The rest of you, get ready to pack, you idiots. All right, you had our favorite dishes. Congratulations. Gabe, however did you come up with your dish? And he's like, I really wanted to showcase a centerpiece and incorporate the rest into my brilliant sauces from Mexico, which I'm going to change the face of Mexican food forever. Thank you very much.
Basically, when the goal is a beautifully intact plum, you just think, how can I make sure this plum has integrity? Well, I have to say something, Gabe. It was another complex Gabe sauce that I need to eat again. Eat again? What are you talking about? It's dripping from your mouth right now, Gabe. Put the jar away.
So Portland Snot is like, I approach fruits in different ways. Okay. It's like, well, that was a brave thing to bring us just three oysters. Thank God Gail had some Ben and Jerry's in her purse. She almost ate her arm off.
You know, I haven't seen anyone do something as brave as that as the time when Gail tried to mix chevron with polka dots.
So Chris, she's like, well, it's much better to be here, isn't it, Chris? And he's like, yeah, you know, I just feel like I'm always in the woods.
That's great, caveman. Okay, let's move on. The winner of this challenge is the man who presented something that was beautifully intact and full of integrity, just like the comedy of my dear friend Ali Wong. Congratulations, Gabe. Actually, it was Melissa Carey who said that.
Yeah, and he's like, the vision I had for this dish came to life. I just need to speak to the soul of Mexican cuisine and really elevate people's ideas of Mexican cuisine. Please don't say that. I hate when people say that. Like, what? That is delicious? Like, does anybody have a bad opinion of Mexican food? You just want to charge more. Just say it. Okay? Also, you want to charge me more, sir.
Also, the idea of quote-unquote elevating Mexican cuisine, like haute Mexican cuisine, is not a new, fresh idea. We have and love the high-end Mexican culinary experience, totally welcoming it, but he's acting as if he was the first one to come up with this idea. It's like, it's been happening about 20 years, 20 or 30 years, at least, yeah. If not longer.
Yeah. And guess where it's been going on forever? In Mexico.
In Mexico. Okay. That's all I said, at least, because I'm being a totally American-centric view of it.
Yeah. Guess where high-end Mexican food has always been? In Mexico. Okay.
There are fancy restaurants in Mexico, believe it or not.
Yeah. They're not all Chili's, okay? So Padma's like, all right, now bring out the three Gales, okay? One of you will be going to Chico's today. Let's go after him, judges.
Avishar, do you think you used enough fruit in your dish? And again, there's only one right answer, and you'll probably get it wrong. And he's like, well, I actually used a lot of fruit. Wrong. Go to the back.
Yeah, and Melissa's like, we couldn't taste anything. And Padma says, all I tasted was bacon and uncooked rice. Kiki. And Kiki, and, you know, she got her roasted apple down. And Tom's like, Kiki, you gave us raw chicken. So, and she goes, raw? That is. Yes. He goes, yes.
Yes.
But that's just.
Yes.
It was raw. It was raw.
But I could have sworn.
Raw. Raw.
But, I mean, I could.
Still raw. Still raw. Still raw right now.
But the fryer
raw,
was.
Raw. Raw.
But I ate it. I'm alive.
And it's raw. Okay, you have a stomach like a goat. What can I tell you? It was raw.
Listen, here's my recommendation. When you're in this tea room, it's going to be a while, so maybe you might want to fire up Raw by Eddie Murphy and just enjoy it for a few hours.
Still offensive, but also very funny. So try it out.
Very offensive, but also accurate to your chicken. Raw.
Every single piece was undercooked. And she goes, well, I would never intend to do that. He's like, I'm not accusing you of attempted murder. I'm just saying the chicken was undercooked. Okay.
The good news is that your chicken has a lot in common with trends in gay porn. Everything's raw. Raw.
Yep, and basically pulled out too fast. So there you go.
And Kiki's like, well, my heart sinks, you know, because I did not intend to cook any raw chicken. And just, your heart sinks, I hope, not into a vat of cold oil.
Yeah, make sure your chicken wings sink next time. Into some hot piping oil, stupid.
Let this sink in. Chicken needs to be cooked.
So Padma moves to Nelson next, and she goes, Nelson, what was this like for you?
Do we need to catch your breath still? Looks like you've been panting ever since we saw you at the orchard.
Please, explain to us the dish that Shin Splints built.
You never answered my question. Was there rosemary in there?
And he's like, well, I never cooked with fruit.
Duh! Saw it, called it.
He's like, I just, you know, I wanted to be bold on the sauces and delicate with everything else. Huh? Well, there wasn't anything delicate about that dish. It was all pretty ham-fisted, sort of like a mixologist trying to explain his career choices. Just clunky and awkward. Not recommended.
Delicate? That was basically Gail doing a time step. Move on. Gail's like, that Bernays was just so heavy and so cheesy, you lost the integrity of the fruit.
And Carrie's like, I didn't see your vision. I was eating this thing to myself. Was this supposed to be baked in a hole in the ground or something? Because, I mean, who could really pull that off? Probably only a very, very skilled chef.
And Nelson's like, well, you know what? I didn't cook my own food today. We want you to cook your own food. You're very talented, all of you. Now, listen, I'm talking to the top three, not you bottom three poor people. You're all terrible. Sorry, I should have turned the other way. You're all so talented. All right, back to you, bottom three.
Listen, you're all very talented layers of gelato, and we have three layers of losers right here, and they make the perfect flavor of get out of my face.
Gelato, am I right?
Hi, San Pellegrino family of sparkling waters. I want to introduce you to the Talenti family of layers, okay? One thing that you can bond over is that these three people are terrible. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Someone please knock me out.
Well, all three of these chefs made food that could send them home. And then Tom's like, I mean, raw rice, that's pretty basic. Come on, raw rice, come on, raw rice, come on.
Raw rice. Yeah, they can all be sent home to their very, very poor huts that are by a river somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, I don't think that his concept was very good either. And Carrie's like, well, Avishar had a terrible dish, but I'd still have to go with Nelson. And Padma's like, yeah, I couldn't eat that. I mean, the rosemary, it had a chemically aftertaste. It was just horrible.
And Tom goes, well, you know, that didn't bother me as much as the raw fruit and heavy Parmesan. And creme fraiche. Well, Gail certainly ate it up. I'll tell you that's for sure. Bless her heart.
Nelson or Avishar? I mean, did they make as big a mistake as Kiki with raw chicken?
Let me just say that again. Raw chicken. Wait, hold on 1 second. Hi, Angela. Yeah. Yeah, they cooked raw chicken. I know, right? Okay. Bye.
And Gail's like, yeah, it's pretty rare when every single person gets raw meat, let alone chicken.
I mean, it's too bad Neelu wasn't here for it, am I right? So then Melissa gives the most backhanded compliment. She goes, well, I mean, if she had cooked her chicken, it would have been a palatable dish. Like, oh, yeah. I like that, Melissa. Good job.
Yeah, because Carrie says, you know, all the other parts of the dish were at least good. And Gail's like, I think we have an answer. Padma's like, get him out here.
All right. No, chefs, you have to embrace this challenge. And you have to, if we give you a challenge and we say fruit, cook something with fruit, you have to embrace it. We say something like, make sure your chicken doesn't kill us. You have to embrace that challenge. So, you know, you can cook what you want, but only in the finale. And first you have to get there. And when I say you have to get there, I mean you have to literally survive there and not get salmonella. Padma?
There has to be somebody to judge you to let you win. So please don't try and murder us again. Thanks. Padma?
Kiki, please pack your salmonella and go, stupid.
Undercooked chicken. You can't get past it, right? Like mixology. Does not work.
And Kiki is really cute about it. She's like, you know, I've never in my life served raw chicken. So, of course, I end up serving it to 10 Top Chef judges. Of great.
On TV.
Sounds great.
We're podcasters. Yeah. We're two evil podcasters. We can just like make fun of her about it for the rest of the season, probably.
Yeah, is she bad? Because I was rooting for Kiki. I really liked
Kiki.
Her.
I was so sad. But I could tell. I could tell she didn't. She was going off the path this episode. She looked like. You can just sometimes see it on these shows where someone just gets too into their head, and you're like, I think that after she messed up Fufu, I was like, that's gonna mess with her a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, she's gonna still get to go to
Last Chance Kitchen. So
Did you hear Padma's tease of Last Chance Kitchen?
Yes, I started cracking up. You do it.
Tonight, Kiki lands in Last Chance Kitchen. Her undercooked chicken had the judges crying, foul. But can she end her streak of bad cluck? Who wrote this? My dear friend Ali Wong would not approve.
Can she end her stream of bad cluck?
Hold on, let me call my dear friend David Chang. Hi, David. Yeah, they made me say bad cluck. Oh, you think that's funny? I do too. Bye.
Oh, hold on. The other line is ringing. Vladimir, thanks for calling me back. Oh, you did? You found out? Uh-huh. And where do they come from? Oh, everybody, burritos come from Russia. Okay. Just found out.
We all know. Hi, chefs. For this quick fire challenge, we're celebrating the great Russian delicacy, the burrito. I learned it from Vladimir.
Oh, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah. And what else are we doing tomorrow?
Let's see. I don't even remember. Below deck?
Yeah, might move something over to a bonus. We're not really sure yet. You'll have to find out tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, we're going to figure it all out. I mean, the recaps will all be there. The question is just where are they? But they'll all be around. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.